You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. I'm the former Major League Baseball editor for Sporting News. I'm a former Cy Young and Rookie of the Year voter, and I'm a lifelong Orioles fan. I also have another podcast. It's called Baseball by the Book. And I would appreciate it if you would check that one out as well. Yesterday on the podcast, I said that the Orioles keep finding new and creative ways of losing, and that continued Monday as they fell to the Red Sox 2-0 in 12 innings. They got 8 shutout innings out of Dylan Bundy on Monday, and still managed to lose the game, and that's really the 2018 Orioles in a nutshell. We expected pitching to be the problem with this team, and while it hasn't been anything to write home about, it's been probably better than predicted. The offense, however, has been an absolute and utter catastrophe. Last night was even worse because Manny Machado sat with an illness. Chris Davis, at this point, is about the worst-looking hitter I've seen in 40 years of following Major League Baseball. And the Orioles are going to have to decide soon what they're going to do about Davis and his large contract. It's not a great position to be in because he still has 4.5 years left, and they're going to be paying him for many years after that with deferred money and that kind of thing. So it's a really tough situation for the Orioles, a team that doesn't have a lot to be positive about these days. One slightly positive thing, I guess, is that Zach Britton was activated Monday. He hasn't pitched in a while, as you guys know, because of injuries. It's not clear what value, if any, an elite closer has on a last-place team. I think the main thing for Britton is going to be seeing how he pitches the rest of the way to see if anybody's interested in trading for him. We know his contract's up at the end of the year. Steve Caimano of Utah Street Report returns to the podcast, and he and I had a discussion about Britton. We'll get to that in just a second. Hey, folks, just a reminder. For all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. And, of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to LockedOnOrioles.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We are joined now by Steve Caimano. He is an Orioles fan who lives in Michigan now, and he also is a guy who writes for Utah Street Report. He's been on the podcast before. Steve's joining us today to talk about a couple of things, but one thing I wanted to talk about first, Steve, was Zach Britton, who Orioles fans know, you know, had a great year in 2016, was a very reliable closer for them for several seasons, but has been dealing with injuries for the last year, hasn't pitched all of this year, missed a lot of last year. He reportedly is coming back as we record this. It's Monday, and he reportedly is going to be activated for tonight's game against the Red Sox. And by the time people are listening to this, who knows, maybe he will have actually pitched against the Red Sox. We don't know what exactly is going to happen. But word is that he's ready to go. His rehab stint has been very successful. The question comes up, is this is a guy who, like I said, has been a very successful reliever in the past. But we know he's pitching now for a last place team. He is a free agent at the end of the year. What should the Orioles expect from Zach Britton, Orioles fans? What should they be looking for with this guy?
He's a 30-year-old pitcher coming off an Achilles injury and about to enter free agency. So the first question is, how are the Orioles going to use him? Is Brad Brock out and Zach Britton in as the closer? I'm interested to see how Buck, who, let's face it, has a very traditional view of the bullpen, slots Zach in, because the reality of it is this. This is a 19-45 team. The closer doesn't matter. The only value Zach Britton brings to the Orioles is if they can trade him by the trade deadline. That's really it. Because they're never going to, I mean, he's making $12 million this year, and assuming he doesn't fall on his face, he's going to garner a pretty good salary next year, and the Orioles would be silly to pay that salary. So that's the open question at this point. How is Zach going to be used, and then what does he do, which is my next soliloquy.
Right. And I think it's, you touched on this here, and I think this is what most fans are expecting and what we've been expecting, you know, all year, you know, at least since it became clear in the first, you know, 10 days of the season that the Orioles were going to be really bad. And that's, you know, this next, say, month or so, or next month to 5 weeks, is going to be a showcase for Zach Britton, right? I mean, this is going to be an opportunity. It, like you said, it doesn't matter what he does. The Orioles aren't doing anything, even if he's as great as he was in 2016. You know, a great closer is on a terrible team is kind of irrelevant. But what he could be relevant for is if he pitches effectively and looks like the guy we've seen in the past, that makes him extremely valuable because we know relief pitching is always something contenders are looking for at the deadline, right? So that's how we have to view this, I think, as fans, is a showcase, right? I mean, there's really no other way to look at what Zach Britton's going to do for the Orioles over the next month.
Absolutely true. It is a showcase. But here are the limiting factors. So let's start with, so far, when you're on a bad team and your manager manages his closer in a traditional 80s, 90s, early aughts way, they don't pitch a lot. Brad Brock has pitched 23 innings in 64 games. There's only 43 games until the deadline. So Zach Britton is going to get 15 innings. And how are the teams, and we'll get to that a little later, how are the teams that might be interested in him going to truly assess him coming off, let's face it, an injury-plagued and bad year on 15 innings? And is he even going to be closing? That all of that factors into what is he going to fetch? And also, he's a one-year or a half-year rental because he's going to be a free agent. And your best-case scenario, if you're a contender, is you pick up Zach Britton and he does great things for you, and then you let him go because he's getting, you know, $18, $20 million and you don't want to pay that. So that's the first While yes, Zach Britton is on a showcase, the best case scenario for the Orioles isn't even really that good.
Yeah, and it brings up an interesting question. Like you said, are they going to have to try to find a way to use him in a non-traditional way so that he does get more innings in and more opportunity to show himself? Because like you said, the Orioles, I mean, Buck Showalter is using a traditional closer anyway, which is going to limit his innings. And we're talking about a team that doesn't have a lot of leads going into the ninth inning. Let's be honest. They're so bad, they don't often have leads late. So a closer isn't going to get very many opportunities over the next 46 days, like you said. So it really, it begs the question, is the front office going to say to Buck Showalter, look, we need to find ways to use him, forget the closer role, forget, you know, looking for save situations. We need to get him in and have him get in, you know, 30 innings between now and then or whatever. In a normal team, that might be the case, but this, you know, this front office is so dysfunctional. I don't even know who would tell Buck Showalter that, you know, I don't even know where that call would come from. So it just leads you to believe that the Orioles are going to screw this up like they have everything else when it comes to this rebuild.
Yeah, that's I guess one of the painful things for those of us who pay attention to how a team manages itself, is that at this point, none of us looking at the Orioles know what is happening. Is it Angelos? Is it his sons? Is it Brady? Is it the GM? Is it the manager? Who is making the decisions? And, oh, by the way, they're 19 and 45. So the season is over. There is only one. The long term is the only thing that matters now. And if Buck is still managing to win every game, which, by God, that's what the manager theoretically is supposed to do. But in this case, it between now and July 31st, it's a showcase, as you said. And that forces decisions that probably run counter to what a manager wants to do every day.
Well, and again, it raises a lot of questions, too, that, I mean, I've seen this question come up so often now on Twitter and elsewhere. You know, does it even make any sense for Buck Showalter to still be the manager of this team? You know, we know his contract is also up at the end of the year. We know the team is, you know, so unless the Orioles are planning to bring him back, does it make sense to even have him, you know, finish out the string? Would it make more sense to just let him go, bring a coach in and kind of finish it out, and so that they can do things like, you know, use Zach Britton in a non-traditional way, you know, get some of the youngsters in there and not have to worry about an older manager who is managing to win? There's a lot of questions, but I guess the thing I really wanted to ask you about, though, is with Britton, assuming the Orioles are going to try to trade him, who do we think are some of the possible targets? We know that, you know, like I said, contenders are always looking for relief pitching, and, you know, we don't know who's going to get injured between now and then. So there could potentially be a lot of teams interested, but I know, for instance, the Astros have shown a lot of interest in the past, and that's a team that presumably has some prospects to deal. Who do you think might be interested in Zach Britton if he is effective?
So I have a list. I actually think it's not really good, because the question is, what is Zach Britton? If he's being traded to be a closer for a new team, that obviously has a huge value. If he's being traded to be a setup man for a entrenched closer, then that brings back far less. So just going through teams I listed, right? Washington, but let's face it, because of the whole Masson thing, that's never, ever, ever going to happen. So two teams that I think need closers to potentially make the playoffs, Atlanta and Philly. But with both of those teams, are they really going for it? Are they really going to sacrifice? And those are two teams with deep farm systems. Are they really going to sacrifice that for a closer to replace Neeris, for example, with Philly? Do they think that this is the time to strike? Are they saying we're gonna stand pat, and whatever happens this year, but the future is bright because we can look at our farm system and see good things coming on the horizon? The Cubs are probably the biggest one that I saw, where, you know, Brandon Morrow has not been good this year. And potentially, if Britton were to, you know, come back and be lights out, that is probably my number one destination for Britton. The other teams I have written down, the Cardinals, the Dodgers, Colorado, Cleveland, Seattle, in all those situations, you know, the Dodgers, they got Kenley Jansen. Yes, he's having a bad year. But can you really bring in a Zach Britton and usurp your closer, or you bring him in to be a setup man? So that's the challenge, I think, is I think that, and you said Houston, I hear that, their starting pitching is so good that I don't know that they are in line with the rest of or many other teams where it's all about bullpenning. But I think the Cubs are the number one target, and then Atlanta or Philly, if those teams are really going for it. But after that, it becomes as you're trading Zach Britton as a setup man, and the return is going to be low.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the Cubs, because they're also a team that has interest in Manny Machado, we know. I mean, I think they would love to insert him in instead of Addison Russell for the rest of this year. So, you know, if the Orioles had a, you know, creative, forward-thinking front office, maybe they can figure out a way to package those two and get some really good prospect back for it. But like we said earlier, with the dysfunction, I just don't know that they're going to figure it out how to do that in a way that would be satisfying. Mm-hmm. But it would be interesting because those two pieces both would make sense for the Cubs. So it would really be interesting to see if they could somehow make that work as a package deal. The other question that comes up, I guess, is with Brad Brock, who you mentioned, you know, he is also a free agent at the end of the year. He's been in the closer role for the Orioles, has not been particularly effective. You know, he's been okay, but he's also had several blown saves. Do you think the Orioles are going to try to move him? I know they're not going to get much for him, but does it make sense to just get whatever you can and get his contract off the books at this point? Or do you think they just ride out the rest of the season with him?
Do I think the Orioles are going to do something with him? That's a question I can't answer. Would I, at this point, if I'm in the Orioles front office, I am on the phone every day trying to move every player I have. Let's face it. This season is over. They're 19-45. And when you look ahead, they have one great player and a couple of pieces and no minor league system. And there is no reason to believe that you can tweak a few things and be competitive again, especially in a division with, let's face it, the Yankees and Red Sox, who are stacked. It is unfortunate, but there are going to be a bunch of I got my season tickets in the early aughts, and I sat through a lot of sparsely attended bad baseball games with watching a bad baseball team. They rallied and gave me some great thrills. I was at the Delmon Young game, and I'll never forget. But if anyone doesn't understand, dysfunction or not, that things are going to get really bad here, well, they are already really bad, and they're going to continue to be really bad. And the only thing that Orioles fans can hang their hat on is that someone, and I don't trust any of the players right now, is going to tear it down to the studs and build it back with a purpose. That's the only answer at this point. I don't. It's hard for me to see another answer unless the Orioles do something that I think they won't do, which is give Manny Machado all the money in the world and then a bunch of players start to play better. I hate to be Mr. Negative, but that's what I think.
Well, I don't think it's possible to be Mr. Negative on this team, because that just means you're being Mr. Realistic, which is, you know, I mean, you can't, there's no way to whitewash, to candy coat what's going on this year with the Orioles and what the future looks like. It's just not, there's nothing good you can say about anything happening with this organization right now, with the possible exception of a couple of minor leaguers who are looking pretty good. But yeah, for the most part, this is just, you know, a disaster, you know, tire fire, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, again, to me, the frustrating thing is just, you know, teams find themselves in bad situations, but what a good organization does is they find a way to make it work for them by, like I said, making trades, building up the farm system, getting a vision for what they want to do over the next 5 years and putting it into place. And that's the thing the Orioles just consistently lack, is any kind of vision for what they're going to do beyond tomorrow. You know, there's just no long-term thinking ever with this team. And that's what's so frustrating. And they're going to blow this opportunity to do a rebuild right, I think. But anyway, that's a story for another podcast. That's a big issue, and it's something I've talked about on this podcast almost every episode this year, it seems like. Mm-hmm. But in any case, thanks a lot for joining us, Steve. I really appreciate it. Love to have you back on once we get closer to the trade deadline, and we can talk about what we think they're going to do or what they end up doing and that kind of thing.
Perfect. I will be in touch. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.